Hello, I'm John McNamara, the information architect for IBM Messaging, and I'm here with Alan Stockdale-Mander. Hello, Alan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hello, buddy. I'm good. So Alan's been working on the new libraries for the iOS application, and as I understand it, Alan, that is in order to facilitate people who are developing iOS applications to enable them with messaging.
Yeah, I mean that's the idea. We extended our MQTT client to have support for iOS so that people who are writing apps for iOS devices can leverage our MQTT protocol for messaging within their apps.
So if someone's got a need, then they've got an iOS app or they're developing an iOS app already, and they're thinking, okay, I need to enable this with messaging, they could go to our DevelopWorks community, which is www.ibm.com/developerworks/connect/IBM messaging. They can go to the article, which is enabling your iOS app with messaging, read through the article and download the libraries. So let's say they've done that, they've got the libraries downloaded, they're starting to work on their iOS application. Is there anything they need to think about before they really get cracking with it?
Yeah, I mean, so MQTT is a pub-sub communications protocol. So the idea is that you subscribe to topics and you publish topics, and when a message comes into a topic that you're subscribed to, you get sent that message and then you can react to that message.
Right.
So you have to be thinking of the messaging flows that you're going to be implementing in your application, how they're going to work. And I'd say, actually, once you've got our download, you actually have to build the library yourself, because we provide it as source code for the iOS platform. So, and then there are instructions in there, but you build the library, and that gives you a version that you can use in the simulator or on the devices, so you can test it, you know, on your computer or on an actual device.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Brilliant. So that sounds awesome. So you mentioned a term there, which is PubSub. And as I remember, that is publish and subscribe.
It is, yeah.
So can you give us a bit of introduction into what that kind of PubSub model actually is?
So the idea is that you have a central server, the broker, and on that you, as your client, send requests to subscribe to a topic.
Right.
And a topic is literally, as it sounds, a topic on the server. There can be nested topics, but essentially it's a single point where messages can be directed and will then be sent from as well. So let's see, for example, you might have a stock ticker and you might have a topic which is IBM, and the data in that topic would be the IBM stock price, for example.
Right.
So someone somewhere would be publishing the data to that topic, which would be updated, you know, whenever they update the stock price, it would come in. And any client that had subscribed to that topic would then be sent a message containing that new data.
So I think what we're saying then is that, let's say I was interested in IBM share prices, I was interested in, let's say, another three or four company share prices, but not interested in every single share price in the known universe.
Yeah.
I go, okay, I know there are these three or four particular companies I'm interested in, here are the topics I want to subscribe on, and then rather than get a foot of everything, I only get notified and pushed out those share prices for the topics I'm actually interested in.
Exactly, and that's just an example of what you might do. I mean, another one, for example, I personally plan to do a project sometime with a weather station.
Right.
So I will have sensors out there getting, you know, light information, temperature, humidity, that kind of thing, and they will be published to separate topics. And then whatever clients I've connected to that will receive whichever pieces of data. Similarly, there's I know a few people who do something with electricity meters.
Right.
So, you know, for their own information, they can see how much electricity is being used. Or there's another guy I know actually who's using similarly for solar panels. So he can get an up-to-date feed from his solar panels as to how much electricity they're producing.
Right, okay. Probably using it, and you may even know that you are using it. So it sounds like a very, very good fit for a messaging application for iOS. We've had a wee chat about what the library is and the sort of model it kind of runs on. So probably next step, then, if we were to go into the article in DevWorks, that sounds all right?
Yep, sounds good.
Grand, Alan. So So we've got our article, and we are poised to start. So the first step then, is it worth thinking about the sorts of things you want your app to connect to in terms of a server? I know that on our downloads page, we've got a link to both our libraries to download, so you can get up running quickly. We've also got a handy link there to the Webster MQ free trial, so it's all there in one place. So now you've got hold of your server, you know you're going to connect to. What's the first thing to start thinking about when you're poised to start creating your app? What sort of skills do you need?
Well, I mean, first of all, you need a Mac to develop on, and then you need to have some familiarity with developing iOS applications.
Yep.
You know, it's good to have an understanding of how iOS applications work, so you can then insert messaging into it. If you're trying to learn both at once, it might be a little awkward.
Right. Yep. Cool. So, are there any considerations in terms of, say, firewalls, for example, to check to make sure your MQTT is
going to be okay? Yeah, from a network point of view, you want to make sure that there's no firewalls in between your client and the server you're going to be speaking to.
Grand. Okay, fair enough. So once you've got those boxes kind of ticked, you've got some iOS application knowledge from the iOS Dev Center, you've got your Mac that you can develop on, and you've checked there's no firewalls. After that, what's the next step?
The next step is going to be building the client libraries. So on the website, we have some instructions for how to build the client library. And essentially on there, we provide a makefile, or the instructions for a makefile, that will allow you to build the client libraries from the source code at the command line. And at this point, it's probably worth mentioning that it will build four different flavors of the library. There is a synchronous library and an asynchronous library, and for each of those we do SSL or non-SSL versions. The SSL versions support secure sockets to connect to your brokers, and to build the secure versions you will also need to have downloaded and compiled or be using the libraries for OpenSSL. That's okay. What it's designed to use.
Right.
And the other two were the synchronous or asynchronous clients. Now, the synchronous client will make blocking calls. For example, when you call connect to connect to a MQTT server, the call will not return until it has connected or until it fails to connect. So, you know, potentially you could be waiting for 30 seconds on a timeout while you make that call.
Yep.
The asynchronous client, you call connect, unless it cannot send the packet to do the connection, it will return straight away with success. And then later on, you will get a callback which will tell you, okay, I've actually connected.
Right.
And all the calls in the asynchronous client work that way. You register callbacks to go with the commands that you're making, and then those callbacks for success or failure will be called depending on the outcome of the call you made. But as soon as you make the call, it will return to you and your program will continue executing.
Grand. Okay, fair enough. So you've built the libraries, you kind of understand the model that you want to try and use. And once you've got that, I guess you want to have a play and see if it's actually working or not. So how would you go about verifying the libraries that you've built? Is that a simple process?
There's sample code that we ship with the client pack. They aren't designed specifically to run on iOS,
right.
And we don't have any iOS specific examples there, but you will be able to compile the sample applications and run them in a simulator or on your device.
Right.
Essentially, they're console applications, so if you run it on your device you'll get a black screen, but if you're connected to Xcode you will see output in the output window of your programming environment, so you can verify there that they do work correctly.
Awesome, that's fantastic. We've spoken about how to build the libraries and how to check the application using those libraries works correctly. So, last thing then, if there's one thing to try and take away from this, what would it be?
If you're doing messaging with the MQTT client on an iOS device, you want to be using the asynchronous libraries. If you're getting to know MQTT, then the synchronous ones might be easier to get a handle on how things are working.
Yep.
But once you're actually doing a proper application that you're going to be releasing, you will want to be using the asynchronous APIs to ensure that you don't end up blocking your app. For example, if you call a synchronous call in a UI thread or in some other thread that's doing important work and it does block for a long time, that will not look good.
understand. Okay, so it sounds like there's kind of two approaches. There's a very simplistic approach to kind of get your head around the technology, but it's not really future-proofed in terms of good application design.
The asynchronous API was designed with mobile in mind.
Okay.
So that's definitely the way you want to go for doing mobile applications.
Fantastic. Well, Alan, thank you very much. That's been awesome.
My pleasure.
Cheers, fella. Right, bye-bye now, everyone.